Let's pray, and then let's sing. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time. I pray that you would, Lord, be one of our number, and just minister to us as we take this time aside from the world. Thank you for all your many helps. I do pray especially at this time for Israel, for America, for Ukraine and Russia. Lord, for all of the other countries in the world, for all of the people that are leading them, that you would very greatly, Lord, convict them of sin and judgment to come and do the right thing. I pray you, Lord, please, people would look at the value of their soul and compare it to what they're selling them for. And, Lord, think seriously. Bless our time here. Be with our absent brethren. And, Father, please help your children wherever it is they might be. And please bless the teaching and preaching and the full counsel of your word, Lord. We love you and thank you. And we pray that you would find our songs and our praises and prayers, Lord, acceptable in your sight and grant them according to your will. We love you and praise you. Amen. 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 Let's start with number 2. This is Bradfield. If you're ready, if you're warmed up and ready, we'll sing it. This blessed old book, hymn number 2 in the Black Book. This is one of my favorite hymns. Let's go. Blessed old book. We'll remain seated.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my painful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the moon
Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressions the ways. The sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall spew forth thy praise. For thou desirest that sacrifice, else would I give it. But it lightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure of Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then shalt thou offer bullocks upon thine altar. Amen.
right first of verses there. I don't know if you you recall it. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." Doesn't say anything about any of our characteristics, but according to his loving kindness, he has mercy upon us. Amen. Thank you for that, Norman. The wee blue prayer list is our prayer list of colour of choice this week. Does anybody have any prayer requests to add to it? Is there anything? I have one thing. If the families of those children that were attacked and killed in Southport, please do pray for them. There was an immigrant, young immigrant fellow with a large knife. I don't know what, how he gained entry, but he gained entry to a nursery or something and attacked and killed, I think, three children now. There were two adults injured and a bunch more kids injured as well. So please do pray for the families in Southport of the children that were killed in that knife attack. We appreciate that. We pray for the authorities and the police as well, that they would act accordingly. And yes, Steve.
Colin, my wife's son Colin, his health has deteriorated somewhat. It's now not just his kidneys, but his lungs and his spleen are affected.
Goodness. And his heart too?
What happens to it?
We don't know. There's some sort of infection or whatever, I don't know.
Is that like this? This, I know there's a lot of younger adults, and Colin's in his what, 40s?
Colin's in his 40s, lost a lot of weight too.
Have been suffering ever since COVID with these sudden illnesses and whatnot. I hope it's not that, but please do pray for Colin. Your son would be your stepson, wouldn't it?
Must have some, yeah.
Pray for Colin. Any other prayer requests? Do pray for Norman's sister Edith. She's having a few issues with her heart right now. I trust everybody got the text yesterday, and keep lifting her up in prayer if you would. Any other prayer requests? Amen. Private prayer requests. Anybody got private prayer requests? John, Lynn, Monica, Mark, Norman, and Steve. That's almost a full house. Amen. So we pray that the Lord knows what those are, and pray that He grant them according to His will. Anybody got any thanks? Yes, Mrs. Bradley, sorry.
We were praying about Beryl's daughter, Michelle, she got her job, and we were praying for her grandson Timothy. His eye surgery went well.
So that's a thanks. Steve, did you have?
Mm-hmm.
2 seconds. That lady's husband passed away this time last year. And left a wife and two teenage sons, was it? Three teenage sons. So please do pray.
Two teenage, one young adult.
Although sometimes it's hard to tell whenever people become an adult or stay children for the rest of their life. Steve, you had your hand up there, so you did, so go ahead. But.
Yeah, I'd like to give thanks for being permanently now officially on Marlins. So that I can get out on a Wednesday night. Also, I'd like to thank for all the blessings I've received.
Yep. I see we have a thank you down here for your fistula working, but it's not working properly right now.
It's just messing it up.
We'll take that off and we'll pray about it. All right. Well, that's that. Thank you, Luke. I'll have a quick prayer and then we'll sing a few more songs. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, that we can come before you boldly at any time of the day or night. Should it be a list or, Lord, just want to spend time in your presence. But We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. And we want to bring a few folks before you. First of all, Beryl's folks, Lord, for her daughter-in-law. Even now, as she still mourns the loss of her husband, that she got the job, and her son, Lord, that eye surgery that he got through that, we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for the many helps and blessings that we have received. And pray even now, Lord, for Steve's fistula, that it would, Lord, it would behave itself and help him with the dialysis. In fact, Lord, we're glad to have him. We're glad that he got his dialysis moved from an afternoon to a morning, and we're thankful for that. And we pray, Lord, that we just watch over him and keep him at this time. Pray you too, Father, for Israel at this time, that you continue to protect her and give her the victories that she needs. For all the people that are fighting in Ukraine and Russia, Lord, in this manufactured war, I pray that you would save lives, Lord, and even those that can't be saved, they would be given an opportunity to come to know you as Savior. Lord, you know all of our private prayer requests. I pray that you would grant those according to your will as well. And you know the loved ones that we have that are having difficulties, Lord, or is just not saved. I pray that you would save their souls. For the people that live in the Boy Road, for Henry Craig, Lord, for the John Henry family next door, Lord, for all that have been able to get done these past few days and weeks and months, I just thank you for it all, Lord. And we pray, Father, please, that even as the days and weeks and months go on, that we would do your will and people would look at us and see your good works and your power, and glorify you, Lord, and think seriously about getting saved. Be with Frank and Colin and Kate, Lord, with Will and Christine and Marianne. I pray you too for William and his dad, Reggie Hamilton, and his two brothers, Paul and Kate. For Carol and Stephen, for Pat, for John McGowan, Lord, and Catherine, and Rebecca and Sean and Oren, and Lord, for Lord, everyone that's received the tract or heard a word, I pray, Lord, that you would keep it in their eyes and in their hearts and in their minds and give them serious cause for thought in these dark days. Love you and thank you. Pray that you continue your work in our hearts and minds too and help us to keep our eyes on you, Lord. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're in the wee black book. I'm just going to do them in order that they come. So the first one we're singing now is number 27, if you'd like to take it from there. Hymn number 27 is Near My God to Thee. Five verses.
Near my God to Thee.
old hymn. That was a good old hymn. I don't know how old Precious Lord Take My Hand is, number 29, but that's our next pick. And then you get to sit and listen for 15 or 20 minutes whilst we have a look at our lesson. One of these statements is a lie. The singing for 15 or 20 minutes. That's a lie. Amen. Hymn number 29, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. If you're fit, stand with me as we sing. Precious Lord, Take My Hand. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure wilt thou show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God, save the Lord? Or who is a rock, save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies, and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. But thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Amen. That is our text. Particular verses I'd like to draw your attention to is verses 28 through 39. We're not going to look at them again, but they're also mentioned in 2 Samuel, I think it's 2 Samuel 22. They're just repeated word for word by the prophet Samuel. We're speaking on the subject of you've got mail, and we're going to have a wee word of prayer. Let's pray, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, to be able to carry our word, your word, Lord, and listen to it read and preached and spoken about. And I pray, Lord, you bless this time. I'm just thinking very especially, Lord, of that minister that was arrested outside Coleraine Hospital. That lady got arrested for praying quietly in the street. And for all of those, Lord, that go into these exclusion zones to do your work, I pray you, Father, please. Pray you for wisdom, pray you for strength, perseverance, and support from the brethren. Thank you for loving us. Think of that fellow Enoch as well. For all of those that dare to stand up to be counted, Lord, I pray your good hand upon us all, and pray for wisdom to be as cunning as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. You know everything we need, Lord. Please supply us this day our daily bread, but be one of our number now and help us as we have a look through all of the bits and pieces we have in front of us this evening. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 I don't know about you, but I would like to have these verses at my fingertips at all times, especially the ones that say, he teacheth my hands to war, so the bow of steel is broken by mine arms. So when some fool steps out of line and starts making trouble, you can hit him a good slap and sort him right out. Wouldn't it be great to be able to do that? In fact, credit where credit's due, it was years ago that Steve actually brought these attentions to my verse, these verses to my attention. And I thought, you know what? Yes, it would be great to do the crushed walnuts in your bicep and all that there. But I'm going to tell you something for this day and age. These verses are aimed at us and our walk with God and overcoming the enemy that lives in there more than the enemy that lives out there. However, it doesn't mean the Lord is not fit and capable enough of comforting us and strengthening us and giving us every word that we need to speak, so that we can deal with the things that come at us. It's good to read verses like that. And it is good to know that people had actual physical things to overcome. We do know that David beat Goliath. We do know that he was a great commander and he continued to flourish until the day that he was lying on his bed instead of out fighting the enemies that were harassing his people, and everything started to go downhill. And it's great to read these verses. It might even be slightly confusing to read these verses in the days like today, because many people think that Christians have to lie down and be walked over. And that's not the case. We are allowed to stand up and speak up and even defend ourselves, push come to shove. But it's good also to remember that in these days when we have, let's be honest, a weak and a toothless government, that has given us so many examples of rejecting the citizenry in favour of people that do not contribute to the country at all and cause nothing but bother. It's good to read those verses. It's good to get a wee bit of get up and go into your life, into your Christian life as well.
Amen.
But this is only for Christians. This message is for Christians. It's not for lost people. This is a covenant or a promise between God and his children. And that's one of the reasons for the title, You've Got Mail. One of the other titles that I had was Reading Somebody Else's Mail. If you were to do a Google search, as so many do, making available to yourself the prophecies in the later birth chapters of Daniel, where it said knowledge would be greatly increased and men would run to and fro. If you were to avail of that prophecy in the Bible and type into Google the penalties for interfering with the mail, over here you can be imprisoned and fined. If you're a postal worker, you'll definitely lose your job. In the USA, I think it's a felony to interfere with the USPS, the United States Postal Services. There are penalties, most of which involve bars and three squares in the medical plan. I am thankful that God never penalizes anybody, saved or lost, for reading the Bible. However, we're encouraged. But just because people read it doesn't mean it's theirs. And you know what the problem comes from reading other people's business and acting upon it? Sometimes it doesn't apply to you. And it's no good to you. And you might make decisions based on something that's not yours if you were reading somebody else's mail and fall far short. Like, for instance, has anyone ever heard of the Ten Commandments? We've all heard of the Ten Commandments. How many lost people do you ever hear saying, I keep the Ten Commandments? And as soon as they open their mouths, you know they've already told a lie, because nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. We lose our rag. We're frustrated, we're injured, an expletive or a bit of profanity steps out of our lips. We mock our parents. We rebel against God when he says, look, why did you say something to that fellow over there? Or we worship something else other than God whenever he says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and we don't turn up at church when we should. All of those things and more, even looking and coveting something that somebody else has, is the same as stealing it. We all break it, but that's a law that everybody can observe, and it will make society run more smoothly. Everybody will get a fair shake if people tend to their own business and be good to their neighbours. However, there is a bunch of stuff in the Bible that's not for lost people. It can certainly let them see what a Christian can have, but it's for Christian people. And of course, there's stuff in the Bible that is a warning to lost people. And it should be an encouragement for the saved to make sure that they don't suffer the consequences. Like for instance, the promises, the individual promises that God makes to anybody that will come before. Promises that are literally unfulfilled prophecies, in other words, they will happen but haven't happened yet, like your home in heaven if you're a saved soul. We can't say that you're in heaven now, but if you're a Christian, you have repented of your sins, you have trusted Christ as your Savior, that is all you need to get to heaven. But that still might leave a little bit of time between now and heaven. And God says, well, I've got something for you to do in between time. But there's also helps. And there's peace. And there's a wee bit of understanding. And whenever you see things going on in the world that are pulling down society, that end up destroying society, whether it's people not behaving properly, or governments not behaving properly, or countries fighting with each other. Those are for us, so that we can see and say, I guess God's word's true after all. And if it's true about those things, true about all the rest. The saved soul can have their faith strengthened when they see things happen. And if you're in this church and you've sat through enough services and even have 3 or 4 brain cells firing in your head, you should be able to see biblical prophecy coming true day by day. Just read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Peter chapter 3, and you will see the way people behave portrayed in a book from 2,000 years ago, when maybe 1 or 2people behaved that way.
That's true.
These things are here so that the lost soul can see the Word of God and start saying, hold on a wee second. Maybe I am doing it wrong. Anyway, picked up a few things. Some of these are not in order. But here's some mail that is for the saved soul. Your assurance of salvation. If you're saved, if you believe this King James Bible is God's Word in the English language, you can be sure that no matter what happens to you or what you cause to happen, Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand. Palm of his hand. And nobody can pluck you out. That is your assurance of salvation. That made so much of a difference to me. Whenever I had joined the church, I was here for a month or two, and the preacher preached about John chapter 10. Verses 27, 28, and 29. That just set me free. I remember being saved, but I had no Bible teaching. I didn't have any assurance of salvation. But that's for the Christian. That's for the saved soul. Here's another one. Because let's be honest, when you start trusting in the Lord, when you start talking about God, when you start reading your Bible, you're going to find that a lot of your friends and your acquaintances and even family members don't want anything to do with you. The Bible says you're never alone. Never alone. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, saved soul. You have a Father in heaven that watches over you and wants to hear from you any time of the day or night. You have a big brother in Jesus Christ. We are his joint heirs, who intercedes for you whenever the accuser of the brethren comes pointing his finger. And we have angels sent to us. And on top of that, we have the brethren. We have something to do to keep us busy. There's a bunch of stuff. You're never alone when you're saved, especially when you set out to serve the King of Kings. Did you know that there is a hell to be avoided and the lake of fire for all eternity for people that refuse to get saved? That's a message to lost souls. And like I said, it should encourage saved souls to make sure lost souls get to hear it. But you can read the Bible. Any soul can read the Bible. And if a soul is reading the Bible, they're being drawn by the Holy Spirit, and those verses should literally jump out at them. Luke 16 should stand up like a bright neon sign. For all those that say no to God, hell and the lake of fire is a certainty. For all those that reject the Savior, Jesus Christ, God's love gift to us and the Son, you're on your own for life and eternity. However, this is the other one of that, the one that's for the Christian. You have a home in heaven. It's not you will have a home in heaven. You have a home in heaven. You will have a new and a glorified body, just like the Lord did. He was beaten to a pulp, bloody, the Bible says. His face was more marred than any man. But whenever he came back, the only marks on him are the ones we should be carrying for the rest of eternity, the marks of our sin in his hands and his feet and in his side. In the Word of God, there is a circular. And it's called the Gospel Invitation. In fact, the Lord, he gave it to every Christian to remind the Christian that people need to hear the Gospel. What did he say? Go and preach the Gospel to every creature. But there are instructions in there. Like he said to the minister, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. repent of your sins, believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, and you will be saved. That's to everybody. We got some other nail. Sometimes they just have this image of somebody pushing a nail trolley down through an office and fishing out the nail for each person. You've got helps from God Almighty. You've got those verses that we're just after reading, overcoming power. Isaiah 40 and 31, they that wait upon the Lord. It's not lost people waiting upon the Lord. It should be saved people waiting upon the Lord. You'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll walk and not be weary. You'll run and not faint. Over and over again. Literally all you've got to do is turn up at the Lord's feet in prayer. And God will start blessing you. Even if it's a chastening. Just means that you're going the wrong direction and God is having to redirect you, and sometimes it can be painful and costly. Here's one for the Christian only. One that I hear mentioned many, many times, that everything will work out for the best. That's like that statement I made at the start of the service. We'll sing for a few minutes and then you'll get the rest of your voices for 15 or 20 minutes. One of those statements was a lie. I can't remember. The last time I had a 15 or 20 minute sermon was my Christmas present to you. Was it? Or Easter? It was some day we had a dinner and we had a wee short service afterwards or before it. That was it. Everything is not going to work out for the best. Unless you're saved. And unless you're doing what God instructs you to do. Did you know that? That's not for lost people. That's for saved people that are serving the Lord. And I know the Lord asked us. See, it's not all about what God can give to us. People think, oh, you people are waiting on God all the time. Because God asks us for a little bit of time. He asks us to be here. I am sure you've heard those things before, but maybe it's just a gentle reminder. He asks us to put money in the plate. He asks us to turn up whenever the doors are open, when we're fit and healthy enough to do it. He asks us to make a joyful noise. He asks us to love the brethren. He asks us to read our Bibles. He asks us to pray. And a lot of people go, that's a lot of stuff to do. I want to tell you something. I know I haven't gone on about it for a while, but about 4.5 years ago, I was nearly dead because of sepsis brought on by gallstones, pancreatitis, and I ended up getting my gallbladder out because it's something like a dozen more gallstones in there, and the next attack probably would have killed me. And I came out of hospital. I could barely walk to the front door in the church. I was that sore. I was that low. But each day I walked a little bit further. And I remember walking down just like that. That slow. No big steps. No power walking. I was thinking, Lord, when am I going to get better? I said, you're going to get better an inch at a time, a day at a time. And I had to get up, and I had to do that every day. Every day for 6 or 8 months, and the doctor said, you can start doing some exercises now, your internal stitches have tidied up, or healed up, you can start doing a few light exercises, which I did. And it was sore, and it was hard. But I did them, and I did the same thing over and over again. Until I was fit, and it was a year later, I was fit enough to help Norman rebuild the church. Sometimes these things are painful that God asks us to do, but they're in our best interest. And it makes us into better Christians when we learn to obey him and do what he asks us to do. There's another one that a lot of people get confused on. And this is for Christians. But God wants to give us all good things. He says, first of all, he compared the ministers in the world to, in John 8:44, this is what he said to him. He said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." That's what he said to the minister. Now he went on to say in Matthew chapter 7, so we're skipping a book or two. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," you like bread and food and one thing and another, "how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" In other words, God will treat his children right. He doesn't treat other people's children right, he treats his children right. And he will. It talks about in James, "and coming down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variable, us neither shadow of turning." This is what God wants to do for us. And that could be strength, it could be a talent, it could be the right place at the right time, the right words at the right time. I don't know, it might even be you find a briefcase full of money and a hedge that you hand into the police, and a year later they hand it back to you because nobody claimed it, and you get the money. It could be something not crazy. If anybody does find one handed it. He gives us support, and this is for the saved. And in Romans 8:31, it says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Mm-hmm. It also says in verse 32 that "he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" This is God talking to his children. And the one that always springs to my mind is the one that I lean on the most, which is mentioned in a couple of the Gospels. And it says, "when they deliver you up," when you're put on the spot for God, this is what God says to the Christian: "Take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." That's the promise of God to the Christian. That you will have the right words to speak to a person at the right time. I could go on and on. I'm going to go on a little bit further. But one of the greatest problems that we have in this day and age is mental problems. First of all, we have access to almost unlimited knowledge, but we have almost no wisdom. We don't know how to use it properly. And you know what God says? And he says this to his children. He says, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not." In other words, he never wags his finger and says, "you're smart enough," although sometimes I'm led to believe that he might be saying that to me from time to time. Because he says, "Mark, you're just too smart for your own good." I'm joking about that. Ask God. Read the book. Let it shape your mind into a mind that God's wisdom can affect your life and the lives of those about you. But God has that for you. And perhaps the greatest verses, the verses that would help so many people in this day and age, are in Philippians chapter 4. Peace of mind. I don't know if you have spoken to many people around and about. In the back of their minds, there is the war in Russia and Ukraine. That's always going on. I think the Labour government just stated that they had a 10 billion hole in the finances. And they said, "where did that come from?" Well, it probably came from giving all of our money away to other countries and cutting a bunch of checks that we didn't have anything to back up with. But anyway, there's always a worry in the back of people's minds about the wars and rumours of wars. And then you go to the shops and stuff costs more because of the famines and the manufactured pestilences and the earthquakes in diverse places. People are worried. It's in the back of their minds. Even as they go to the shops, even as they cook their food, as soon as they turn on the TV, the BBC and the ITV and Sky and all these folks are bombarding people with fear the whole time. It's killing people. It's doing their heads in. And I am going to give you the simple recipe for the Christian to get around that. The Lord said, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But in everything, that means everything. Having boyfriend problems, girlfriend problems, money problems, drug problems, drink problems. If you're having Bible study problems, if you're having problems with your grass, your septic system, your health, your friends, your vision, your trousers, your shirts, whatever, it says everything. And everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. In other words, Lord, please, please, Lord, and thank you, Lord, let your requests be made known unto God. God knows what you're trying to hide from him. The things that you go and do under the stairs in the dark, thinking that God doesn't see. Many verses in the Bible say God sees in the darkness as well as we see in the daylight. I know about them, God said, but you need to come to me about them so I can help you, because God doesn't force his help on anybody. Anyway, he goes on to say, the peace of God which passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. In other words, people can't explain why Christians have joy, happiness, not even the right word, but joy in their lives. That even on the worst day that you or I have, we are still going to heaven. We still have a Father in heaven that loves us, and a Son that gave his life for us, and a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. It doesn't stop there. That's just to unburden ourselves. These verses really stick in my mind because I came across an article on the BBC, you know, that bastion of all truth and conservatism, about mental problems. And it said, if you think on good things, you will not have the same mental problems. And I thought, I heard that verse somewhere. And it was just after Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And this is what it says. Finally, brethren, this is the finish of it. This is the solution. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, or of good report, if there's any virtue or any praise in a thing, think on it. Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That almost rhymes. That's for the Christian. Those things are not for the lost soul. Although technically if someone came to the Lord in prayer asking him to save them, Philippians 4 and 6 would apply to them. There's a bunch of other stuff in there for the Christian. In fact, for every situation in life, there's a bunch of stuff there. For instance, if a young woman or a young man is looking for a potential mate for the rest of their life, a spouse to have and to hold and to raise children with, you would say, right, the Word of God says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? In other words, in their God. What's the most important things? There's so many things in there. But so many people, so many churches are hearing these promises to other people. They're reading things that belong to other people and thinking they belong to them. Even as I was writing this down, I was thinking, you know what? What greater verses are there in the Bible right now for the parents of those three little children that stepped off into eternity? I don't know what age they were. I'm assuming they were toddlers.
Very young.
Or not very old. I remember a gentle and a loving Savior that told us, and if you want to get into heaven, you have to come as a little child, trusting your Father in heaven. That's what he says. Just trust him because he's your Father in heaven. And he said that their angels, the little children's angels, do always behold the face of their Father in heaven. And going to be trouble coming for that fella that caused all that bother. Trouble. In fact, I would even go so far as to say that if he ends up in jail, he'll be killed by somebody in jail. Because people don't like that. Even hardened murderers don't like that. The Lord said, through Paul, I was alive without the law once. When I was a child, commandments, all that stuff didn't apply to me. But then it says, the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. In other words, my sin nature became preeminent. I needed to get saved. I remember the two as well. We spoke about David earlier on in the message. His downfall being lying in bed when he should have been out leading his armies. Committed adultery with a woman, had her husband murdered. Tried to raise the child as his own. Tried to... terrible mess. But the Lord smote the little child with a disease. And the little child died. You know what David said? He said, he cannot come to me, but I can go to him. Yes, even though David had made a mockery of God and a fool of himself, he was still the child of the King of Kings. And there was no doubt that the apple of God's eye went to heaven whenever he died. And he met up with his son whenever he died. Little children go to heaven whenever they die. We wonder, are there going to be many people in heaven? Because the Bible says there'll only be a few that ever find the straight and narrow road. There will be millions and tens of millions of little children that went straight to heaven before they even took a breath of air or saw daylight through those murder clinics. Angels are there to help those that will be heirs of salvation. That's you and me, and that's little children. That's the promise of God listening to you as well. That's there for you too. And we can talk to him any time of the day or night, and we don't have to live in fear. Because even Christians, we live in fear sometimes. The Lord said, don't fear him that can destroy the body. Be afraid of him that can destroy the body and soul in hell fire. Hebrews 13:6 says, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. This is for you and me. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We have so many messages to us. They're literally like checks that God has written and signed. Sadly, so many of them are uncashed in our lives, but they can be. And they're all there to help us. Day by day. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. All these things, they are there to remind the lost soul. And that will sadly be in retrospect when it's too late to do anything about it. They are there to remind the lost soul that God's right and that they should listen. And it's there to point a questioning lost soul to the only thing that in existence that makes life worthwhile and eternity sure. Of course, Jesus Christ is their Savior. And all that stuff is there to encourage and secure and teach and comfort and strengthen each one of us. So, like the title says, you've got Neil. If you don't open it, and don't read it or make use of it, it's no good to you. And this book is full of things that are good for you. So open it and read it and put it to good use. Amen. Thank you for your good time. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules. Mrs. Bradfield, did you come up with a suggestion for us for a song?
111.
111 in the big book. 111. Sometimes I feel like a bingo caller. All the ones. 111. Sweet peace, the gift of God's love. 111 in Hymnbook, if you'd like to take and turn there, 111, Sweet Peace, the Gift of God's Love. Let's turn there and stand and make a joyful noise as we sing our closing hymn.
Comes to my heart, sweet friend.
Christian nurses as well. Lord, please be with them and hold them in your stead. Grant them all their needs according to thy holy will. Bless all our brethren here around the world. Lord, bless them mightily too, Father, and not forgetting your children Israel. And Lord, please Blessed is Jerusalem, Lord God, peace to the Lord, my soul be saved as well. Intervene in the wars and the rumors of wars, Lord, and be aware. Father, Lord, the innocents are getting caught up in the conflicts, Lord. Please, Lord, just help them and guide them, Lord, and show them there's a better way, Lord, than all this messing about. That you are the true and only way. And only through you can we gain the peace, that wonderful peace. Lord, now I ask, Lord, that you be with each one of us as we go to our individual homes. We take our words, your words in our heart, Lord, and we apply them if we can, Lord, whatever we can. Lord, that we can submit ourselves to you, Lord, and that we can trust in you've given us the words to speak as you promised in that hour. Lord, that we can point souls to you, Father, in these days, the last days. Let us do some good things for you, Lord, to glorify you. Lord, and these things and everything else, Lord, we praise you and give thanks to you for the things that we have prayers answered and unanswered as well. Lord, in Jesus' precious name, please be with us all. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little bit.
See you
tomorrow.
See you. See you. Yeah.